We want to wish you a greeting today. Thank you for joining us. It's Sunday here in the living room. We've come because we want to get close to the Lord. We need to get near to Him. And we're so thankful for God's goodness. We're thankful that Brother Freedom is here, and the Lord's given him some scriptures. We're going to have my wife Jan come and pray, and then my son Mike is going to come and read some scripture for us that Brother Freedom has selected.
Father, we thank you for this beautiful, glorious day that you've given to us to worship you, to honor you. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. No matter what we're going through, no matter what happens today, you are in charge, and we love you and we praise you. We ask for your special blessing today on each one in this room and each one listening over the internet. Thank you for touching our hearts. Thank you for opening our ears. Thank you for giving us the wisdom to know that you are God, and to give you that place and that sovereignty and to praise you for it. We give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is 2 Timothy, the third chapter. Starting in verse 1, it says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce-breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." Then in verse 14, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Then in chapter 4, starting at verse 3, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing."
You'll pray.
Lord, thank you so much for this wonderful word. Lord, we're longing for your appearing. We're looking for your coming, Lord. We want to receive that crown of righteousness. Lord, we're seeking you. We pray for your mighty will to be done today in this service and your anointing upon Brother Freedom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I'd like to just put a little P.S. in. We cannot pray too much, especially in a service, because that's a point in time that you set aside for God's Spirit to show up to help you. And the more, it seems like to me, that the more that you get that extra prayer, the more that it intensifies God's power, intensifies His strength. It's like they used to do it a long time ago. They'd always send people into a town and pray. And hours they'd pray for a city. And I've done it for this city that I'm in. Nobody knew it, but God had me pray for 4 weeks straight. And I says, I would go and pray. And the Lord says, no, you don't understand. I want you to go to your shop and pray there. And at the time that they're in church, how's that suit you? And I said, that's fine. And I said, well, that's so fine, because I will go with that. But I did ask him for a sign. But I said, I will walk for a sign that morning. And I went down there. And in my shop, there was never no birds around. I never had seen any. Had a black lab, and I took that lab with me. When we got in, it just shocked me. The whole walls were lined up with sparrows, and they was chirping. And when I go to pray, and they just chirp, chirp, chirp. I never will forget that. God's so mindful. I mean, how he gathered all those sparrows, put them in that shop, and they was all there when I went in. And the time I was through praying, they was all gone. But I did that four Sundays straight. Prayer is very necessary if it's done in sincerity of heart, if it's done for the cause for God to move. We just don't just pray simply out of just so praying. It's for something to take place. And a lot of times when we pray individually, it's supposed to be get ourselves where we're able to do what this says in this word. It says talk about preaching the word, be instant in season, all those things. So prayer is something very special in getting the will of God. The key subject is that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. How does this take place? It takes by an individual seeking the Lord, which we all should do, and maintain a prayer life or a condition that God can work in us. But I'd have to say of my own life, it took the power of the Holy Ghost. When the Holy Ghost came in my life, I was not the same person at all. I was totally different. I can't explain it. But the Holy Ghost is a force that God has given us. It's impossible to describe. Like Jesus, it talks about Jesus. All the scribes could not tell about Jesus. The Holy Ghost the same way. Jesus sent the Holy Ghost to move on the hearts of those, his people. Without the anointing, without a supernatural strength, this would be beyond our own abilities. It becomes void. We don't have that internal connection that we have when the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost is involved. It's a connection with God, hooks us, connected, we plug in. And that's why if the Holy Spirit is not there, the best thing to do is say, I don't have nothing. Because we don't see Him. We don't see even what with our eyes, but we feel it. We sense it. It's in us. It's a power that's beyond our bodies adapt to it very easily. There's something within us that receives that strength easy. It's not hard. It's very acceptable. We understand the world in this whole first part of the second Timothy that Paul's talking about the people. They're unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. You ever see so much despising the people that do good? There's groups of people overseas that don't like anybody that's a Christian. And I seen a picture the other day, and they cut their heads off. They're very brutal. It's hard for us, myself, to imagine that a hard person could do those kind of terrible things. We got to recognize they're in this world. They're trying to come into our nation. And they're getting a welcome, looks like. But these things are coming. We need a supernatural strength on high that's above we can get within ourselves. We're very needy people. At the best, we can't maintain a schedule very long because we weary. We tire. Military, that's what, when you get holding in a long battle, what gets you is that long endurance happens. Keep on keeping on. And the Bible says, after having done all to stand. Well, that's what it's talking about. We need a strength that's above what we're able to come up with. But as we decrease, God increases. It's like we go up to the road and we just get up, hook up to it in our little half a horse thing. And it's not even a half a horse. It's not even a quarter horse. Mine's zero now. When you hook onto it, here you got this a gigantic super engines, 50,000 horsepower or better. But when you connect to that, that's all you have to do is God releases, and just your little faith makes this all happen. That's why one person in the Spirit can actually put out more spiritual horsepower than 887,000 after the Lord told me. It's that much difference. The Spirit of God, it's beyond the imagination because you see things that you can't even see. You feel things that you cannot feel. There's a hope that you have that inserts a faith, a supernatural faith, that you don't have it without the Spirit of God, the unction to function. You have a faith beyond imagination. And you get a desire that hooks up with heaven that's real. Like this morning, I've had a bad neck, but boy, right now, it's God's supernatural. He's glorious. He moves to the impossibles. He moves to the things that's so impossible without the Lord. And Apostle Paul's saying, he says, all scripture is given by the inspiration. It's there, or the word of God, with thy word of a hidden heart, that I might not sin against thee. The word of God is the power, the tools that we use. But it's like an engine cannot work just with the fuel alone. You got to have oxygen. The bigger the engine, you got more oxygen you've got to have. And when they come together, they're two different substances that come together, and when they have ignition, sets it off, explosion takes place. That happens to your engine all the time. Engine intakes in, comes up, the piston comes up the top on the compression stroke. When it gets to the compression stroke, it produces so many pounds of compression. A diesel engine, say 500 pounds. And when that ignition takes place, the fuel sprayed in, ignites. Boom. That's what we are spiritually. Same process. We got to have these certain conditions in ourselves with even out the chemistry of the engine. Just to get it to fire, you got to have a chamber and valves and that to make it work with timing chain, timing gears, camshaft. All these things work together to get this engine going. We're doing the same way spiritually. We need to have God's input in our heart by the Word of God that keeps us alive to God, puts the Holy Ghost upon us. It becomes fire. It becomes powerful. It becomes a strength. It comes, something can overtax the, come against the powers of darkness. The Spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. All people face the principality of the air. But when we receive Jesus, we were renewed. That when God saved us, we were saved by grace through the faith through Jesus Christ. Saved us to put us strength. He gets little normal people anoints them the Spirit of God, and they become more than powerful. They make the devil shake. They make powers disappear. They make the will of God come to pass. They bring a condition that makes things work, that brings for all faith. You see people healed. You see the power, the anointing. It comes through God's here physically in the heart because that person healed. You get powerful in the Spirit of God. The anointing comes. It strengthens you. You have to see the will of God taking place. The will of God's taking place right now through America. You should be in this service. God's here to strengthen you. God's here to put you alive. And God's here to you being more and conquerors through him which loved you. It comes through the obedience of the Spirit of God. And any man, any woman think they can get up here and do it without God, it's impossible. You've got a former godliness. Yes, you're doing it in yourself. But there's no power unless God sanctions it. And he's been doing it pretty good. God's been sanctioning it for quite a while. But it's time. The principality of the earth, he's coming here with power. The Antichrist is about to appear, and nothing's going to happen only through by the Spirit of God. God's here to anoint his people with a mighty anointing to help them, strengthen them, strengthen them. We just let it, the strengthen of our hearts, that the man of God might be perfectly, thoroughly furnished, strengthened, perfectly, all strength, all power. And God's here to give you all power over death, grave, and hell. That's what Jesus came. He came to set the captive free. He came to bring power to his people. He came to bring anointing on his people. He said, it's needful that I go away. Jesus daily praying for his people. But he sent forth the anointing, the Holy Ghost, to come back. And the Holy Ghost is here with all power, with all strength. But yet we booted him out of our church. Some people said, we don't need him. But I feel for these people. Because Jesus very said, he says it in the Word of God, be careful how you treat the Holy Ghost. I will forgive you whatever you do against me. I will forgive you even for murdering someone. I'll forgive you on all these things. But be careful what you say concerning the Holy Ghost. And I've seen people
I told them, I said, please don't say no more. Oh, they don't care. We got a church. We got to take care of it. I says, you need the Holy Ghost. Well, we're going to tell the Holy Ghost what to do then. That's blaspheming. I can take you places. I know where this happened. I thought it maybe was just a spotted blip, but the way I understand it, it's pretty much general rule. We need to apologize. He's the closest friend I've ever had. You know, I'm not a pastor. I'm not an evangelist. I'm not nothing. But God can take a nothing and confound the wise. He confound. He's perfect. He does it through the anointing. And Isaiah says, the anointing breaks forth the yoke. It sets the captive free. Jail, God proved it. Jail, I remember one night, 30 men just cussing, swearing before 1 hour elapsed. 29 give their hearts to Jesus. And they was crying. They get mean. God gets more powerful. They get very wicked. The Holy Ghost, come a sheet of he. God gets very challenging. You can overcome through the powers of the elements of this world by the supernatural power of God. I learned that in jail. God is greater than who you face. The same man that was so boisterous, so wicked, changed to be my protection. They took care of me. Nothing happened. Only thing, the jailer deputies got sort of jealous about it. They got very, Satan got in their hearts. But God moves mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. God's here to direct a society of wicked people in holiness. And do you like that? God wants them. You can be wicked. It challenges God. God's, my people, yeah, I forgive you. And you become a new creation. We've all been wicked. We've all been where we shouldn't be. When we accept Jesus Christ, it becomes a supernatural strength and a chain that sets us in direction for heaven. It can't take place if we don't follow it. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. Continue in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of the knowing of whom thou hast learned those things. We're to continue knowing those things. Those things, what are they? Godly things, spiritual things that bring us into a place of alignment with God the Father, bringing that strength in a supernatural way. When you get things of God, it's supernatural. You don't see it, but he's there. He's in this room right now. He's powerful. He doesn't make mistakes. We make mistakes. I was thinking about myself when I was used to trying to troubleshoot, and I thought I was pretty good, but I wasn't nothing. And I'd always make mistakes. Everybody else makes mistakes too. But never one time did God make us mistake. Never, 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 never. Not one time. God said the stator's gone or broke. Here's brand new. It's broke. How long is the machine going to run? He says, well, it'll run the end of this year, but not in the beginning of next year. Exactly. They call me and says, what happened to our cat? I said, well, the Lord said it's not going to run on in the next year. And he said, well, we didn't think he'd be that narrow-minded. So I was trying to say it. God's special. It did not make the next day. It was running about 2 days before it set. When they started up, it wouldn't run. Had to be tore apart. Is that critical? God never makes mistakes. I went down on a D8 cave. Had about five or six mechanics. They couldn't figure out what was wrong with it. I couldn't figure it out. The natural, I couldn't figure it out either. Because there was really no signs, but it didn't work. In 3 minutes, I knew exactly what was wrong with it. The Lord says, get rid of the hindrance. I'm flying down on an airplane and said, get rid of the hindrance, just like that. Now, after I get rid of it, you get rid of the hindrance, and I'll tell you. Well, I didn't know what was going to be involved getting rid of the hindrance, but every tire got in a track, which wouldn't keep that cat running, but anyway, that was a hindrance. So I told these men, I said, you got to get rid of that tire out of the tracks. And they just come undone. They said some horrible things, but I wasn't going to move. I said, I'll just take me back home. I was 300 miles from here. I said, get me back home. That's all I asked for. I don't even ask for any pay or nothing. And, we'll go get that tire out there if that's going to suit you. And I said, it's the Lord wants that tire out. As soon as that tire got pulled out, it immediately got just pined up on the side of that machine on the right-hand side, put my hand in the hood, and God showed me it immediately. What was wrong?
The problem wasn't even where we thought it was. The problem was a final drive full of mud. Polluted oil system. Nobody knew it. That real heady condition clay is hard to find it. The oil looked good. The filters looked good because it wasn't picking it up. But it was just right where he could plug this orifice. So the little orifice has to stay open to work, to function. But that's the way we are. There's things in our heart that, oh, that's nothing to it. But that's God saying, hey, you need to straighten up, because if you don't, it's going to pull you down to where I can't reach you no longer. It's going to destroy your life. You need to walk faithfully in the Lord. We need to be, because it says, I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I kept the faith. To be able to do that, we got to maintain by the supernatural Spirit of God to help us. But we're living in a time when they shall not endure, or don't want to endure sound doctrine. People are lovers of self. Says that he to themselves, teachers have an itching ears. They want to receive what they want to hear. Now I'm staying up with this through a little bit. I've been finding out. Now, I could not imagine what's going in on some of the churches in the United States. Some of these biggies is right, these people that receive it. Now they're finding out that they're way, 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 way off from God. We have to seek God. This Bible helps us to stay on course. But we have to have an inner power, too, that's greater than what we can see. You just don't get out here and say a bunch of words. It takes the anointing, the Spirit of God, to bring these into effect for the will of the Father. God the Father, through the Son of Jesus Christ, through Christ Himself, we receive an unction to function in the day that will not be castaways, but we'll bring living life. We'll have a purpose in our life to do the will of God. We'll shut all appearance of evil and take on the supernatural power of God through the anointing to bless us, to insert His strength and His power, the will of God, that we'll walk faithful in His direction. But this, it didn't happen overnight. It says, thou hast, from a child, has known the Holy Scriptures. I've learned a lot about the church world. I was, up to this, about 6 months ago, I didn't know nothing about none of the church. I stayed, because God was telling me these things, but what I've learned is exactly what God told me. Exactly. See, God doesn't make mistakes. He gives an imprint of things. One part says, how do you know that? Well, you can't hide things from God. He knows everything. He knows even how you think. He knows all those secret things that you put in your heart that nothing, nobody knows about. God knows all about it. Nothing is hid from God. See, I learned this from a mother years ago. She says, you can't hide nothing from God. My mother really knew how to pray. My mother could pray. Things happen. I went to her funeral, and the pastor of her church said, you know, he said, they wouldn't have no church without your mother. My mother learned that when she was a child. From a child. Oh, hallelujah, come and see. I praise God. He's real. I thank God that down from that, I was drowning. I took the Lord. I said, Lord, I want to serve you. I want to see you in a little minute. And God didn't see fit to take me then. But I've learned a lot. That He'll never fail you. He'll never punish you beyond what you make Him punish you. He loves those that will seek Him. But He chastises those that do wickedly because He loves us. He only chastises those that He says there's no other remedy. There's no other way, my child. I must chastise you. Like David, when they went up there, he says, when David really, so David had to choose what the punishment was going to be. But I don't think that God wouldn't even put any punishment on him, but He had to punish David. Well, that's some same way. We have to do away with the wicked. There's wicked. The wicked one comes all the time to distract us. He comes to take our allegiance. He comes to actually to make us see where He wants to see. And then it forms in our mind, and we can't get that what we've seen out of our mind. Pretty soon that attachment's there, and it destroys us. Our minds are so connected that God made us that way, that if we see some things, it's going to stay there for your lifetime. And you got to work with that thing sometime because it's a hidden, it's wrong. But God's faithful. He'll help you through times of tests, through temptation. There's no temptation taken to you but what is
common man, but God is faithful. He's not allowed you to be tempted beyond which you're able to bear, and with that temptation, make a way of escape that she might be able to, what? Bear it. Greater is he that's in you than he is the world. God's here that you might be strengthened this last hour, that you might be a profitable child, that you might walk in victory, that you might walk holy before him without an outset to the word. You're not going to make it. You've got to have this connection out there in yourself. You're going to miss it. Seek God, and he will surely help you. Seek, call upon him while he's near. God will help you. He'll settle you. He'll make your path to be brightened with this power. I pray that God will bless you this day. I pray the supernatural power of God will help you this day. That God will anoint you from the very crown of your head, the very sole of your feet. You put your feet in walking. And I tell you, there's not no joy like the joy of the Lord. It's no power like the Spirit of God. God's alive and God's real. He's ever present at the same time. It's hard to imagine where he's at because he's everywhere. His eyes search continually for those whose hearts is made perfect toward him. Out to this day, I want you to remember that God's seeking for you to make your heart right for him, and he wants to bless you. God wants to bless you. God wants his face to shine upon you, be glorious in you, that you might have strength over evermore. God's here to help you this day, and I'm going to have to quit because my neck's giving me trouble now. No pain. when I quit talking and crawling, the Lord takes away. I hope he keeps there because it feels good now. God bless you all. Pray that God will strengthen everybody this day. In Jesus' name. But look to God. The author and finish every course. But I would like to stop on this. But lay the henceforth there is laid up for me, as Apostle Paul, a crown of righteousness, which the righteous judge shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all those that love his appearing. And that appearance is real close to happening. And if you don't love that appearance, right there, he's coming for those that love his appearance. Very plain. So we better love the coming of the Lord. If you don't love it right now, pray until, I want you to pray, be sure, promise that, Brother Freedom, that you'll pray till you get ready and you say, Lord, I love you, Lord, I want to see you, I love you. Lord, I help me to give you, I'm going to ask you out there, if you don't have that love, say, Lord Jesus, I want, help me. I want to accept you into my heart in such a way that I will love you, that I'll praise you, that I'll be ready when you're coming. Make this real in your heart this day. Ask him to come in your heart, that he'll forgive you, he'll strengthen you, he'll be an overcomer. God bless you all. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen.
What a wonderful anointing we've enjoyed this morning here in the living room. I hope you've sensed it for yourself. God bless you all. Amen.